episode ready to go. They're gonna talk about the good and the trash and anything in between. Cherishing make-believe, get ready for Halloween. It's the Horror Show. I know you miss those guys. Tune in and find out what's on their list tonight. They butcher and dissect, take apart and mutilate. Listen to your two favorite brainiacs communicate. It's the Horror Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horror Show, a show that dissects, mutilates, dismembers, and butchers all of your favorite and not-so-favorite horror movies and other horror-related events. I'm Sean.
I'm Joe.
Yeah, we almost had a old-school horror show blunder.
Zool gaff. Dude, we haven't done that in forever.
Well, now we have so many backups that it's, like, almost impossible. Like, we would have to have a catastrophic failure, which is not beyond our scope. We can easily make that happen.
Should probably explain what we're talking about. We both almost didn't hit record on our devices here.
Yeah.
What was the episode? Like, we recorded a 2-hour episode.
Was it the X-Files one?
Well, it was the X-Files. It was the X-Files.
It was so good.
That was so good. That because when we were talking about our early days, we just had a live show with Leprechaun. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about how, like, around episode 10, we did Leprechaun and we felt like we were hitting our stride. And the X-Files episode was right around there.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember when it was done, we're like, fuck, that felt good. Like, I feel like we got this down. And we both realized we don't have the recording.
It was insane.
Devastating.
Absolutely devastating. Yeah, the Leprechaun show was really fun. You can catch the replay over at patreon.com/IHateHorror. Yeah, good to do Leprechaun. I don't remember anything. I got a little saucy. It was St. Patrick's Day, you know. St. Patrick's Day weekend. And speaking, I'm trying to think of a segue from St. Patrick's Day to Ghost of Mars, and I can't quite.
Yeah,
because I don't feel lucky. I'll tell you that much. So this week we were looking to do something for my favorite Marchin just to celebrate it. And sorry to Lexi, we booted communion off of the board. I am gonna watch it myself first before we do it because it looks like a boring piece of shit. And minus that one scene I saw, which is insane, but I feel like it's gonna suck, but we'll see. This week, though, we decided to do Ghosts of Mars, John Carpenter's penultimate movie so far. 2001. After this, he does The Ward, which I had no idea he did. I've seen that cover a million fucking times. I've never seen it. Have you seen that?
I have. Isn't Sydney Sweeney in it? A young Sydney Sweeney?
Oh, is that true?
I think so.
Oh, and she's Amber Heard. Whoa. Fucking J Carp pulling the heaters out for this one.
Yeah, I mean, Sydney's super young in that, but yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Amber Heard, Mammy Gummer. That's a fucking name. Danielle Panabaker. I don't know who that is. Oh, looks like a lot of attractive young ladies. Sydney Sweeney, she got some funny eyeballs. But anyway, yeah, she plays like a child in it. So
she is a child.
Eradicate. Is she still? No. Well, yeah, she is. Because she's the one from whatchamacallit, right?
Well, she's 26 now. 25, yeah. 26.
But she's still a kid. What show was she in? Euphoria.
She's in a bunch of horror movies coming up.
This is how I know her age, because when I went off on Euphoria and everyone was like, they're in their 20s, because it creeped me out that I'm like watching high schoolers like get naked and fuck. And we had so many listeners be like, they're actually in their 20s. Yeah, I fucking know. Like, the fuck are we talking about? Still fucking weird. Anyway, so that's The Ward. I wonder how that is. Do an hour episode just guessing how The Ward is.
I have an idea for that.
Oh, I bet it's pretty good. This scene, I'm going to read from Wikipedia, sounds pretty good. I bet that's a pretty cool scene. Instead, we have Ghost of Mars. So this is the second to last. This guy, I don't know what happened to him. And maybe nothing happened. It's just an odd choice. So 94, he does Mouth of Madness.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Great movie.
Yeah,
great movie. 95, Village of the Damned, a remake.
Remake.
I loved it as a kid, so I've got a little special place in my heart. I rewatched it recently. It's fine. It's fine. It's a great concept. You know, I think they were hitching their wagon to the Children of the Corn, like, thing going on at that point. 96, Escape from L.A.
You know, not great. Now, I want to rewatch it. I haven't seen it in years.
It's on our Plex. So I rewatched it. Okay. Escape from LA. I'm looking up this video game he's making. He just made a video game. I don't know if you're aware of this.
I saw something on that, yeah.
It's called Toxic Commando. And dude, it looks a lot like this. So I think there's something that makes me think that this is like truly his like favorite genre of movie is like these action movies that are like really fucking bad. And I actually like Escape from LA.
Speak for yourself, brother.
I like Escape from LA a lot, but like Snake is like surfing in like leather fucking pants and shit. And it's playing basketball. It's fucking nuts. It's fucking insane. Then in 98, he does Vampires.
Yep, we covered that.
And then 2001 is Ghost of Mars.
Listen, Ghost of Mars rocks.
Ghost of Mars does not rock, Joe. Joe. Dude,
Ghost of Mars is so fun.
Joe.
How could you not have been watching Ghost of Mars? Joe,
because it gave me a fucking problem? Headache. What is my problem? Joe. A flashback within a flashback within a flashback.
Multiple
was
flashbacks.
Nuts. Was nuts. There, we got three layers at one point from different perspectives.
I'm well aware. That's dude, a cell.
Dude, but
the original Inception.
Imagine showing somebody John Carpenter's early films and they're like, holy shit, this guy's a fucking genius. And then you're like, I know. Here, watch this. 2001, Ghosts of Mars. He's like, this is going to be fucking incredible. And then you show him this, and it's this.
I mean, hey.
What?
Compare it to the other 2001 genre films.
Joe, but this one is like, okay. Can we do that? Can we?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
2001 horror movies. Okay, so you might have a point if we go into this, but I think other people, I might agree with you on this, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of people that are like...
People are going to be mad, especially on my takes on other...
Well, that's what I was more saying. Like, you're going to be like, this. Look at this movie from 2001, and everyone's going to be like, you motherfucker. Like Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers sucks.
Yeah, but...
Valentine sucks. Bones, the Snoop Dogg movie.
Mimic 2.
13 Ghosts, Wendigo. Jason X.
Frailty.
Wishmaster 3. Frailty's great.
Frailty's great. Awesome.
Yeah. Cradle of Fear, Danny Filth's movie. Yeah, this is the best. Hannibal. This is the best, the second best that we've named so far.
Donnie Hannibal? Dark. Hannibal was like so stupid. Hannibal pisses me off. That was a super high school go to the movie theaters to see movie.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah.
And then you just watch it and you're like, what the fuck is this? Some fucking little weirdo, some little pervert running around eating people.
Eating himself at one point.
Jason X.
Yeah.
All right. So The Mummy Returns, which that doesn't really qualify. Scary Movie 2 is probably the best so far.
All right, well, if I was to agree, which I don't, Scary Movie 2 and Frailty are above it. So it's number 3. It's pretty good.
You've got something going on here. I'll give you that. But I don't think we can. What about From Hell?
From Hell's fine. Based on a graphic novel about Jack the Ripper.
That Takashi Miike fucking movie, The Happiness of Katakuris. Fucking weird ass.
I keep hearing a noise, by the way.
Yeah, I do too. Oh, it's my fucking phone coming through. Fuck. All right. Got it. Fixed it. That was honestly confusing as fuck to me. Got it. Okay. And let's put this on silent, brother. All right. So anyway, yeah, so the movies weren't great during this period.
No. They were not.
But that doesn't give it a pass. But
it does. The main bad guy's name is Big Daddy Mars. That's not a plus and a half. I don't know what to tell you.
Joe. That's, and by the way, not uttered in the movie. So not a plus when no one's, because dude, if Ice Cube was like, Big Daddy Mars's ass is mine, then I'd be like, okay,
we got I do agree. A missed opportunity. But you know, I'm a huge Ice Cube fan. Mm-hmm. Dare I say, his biggest range of emotions in any film ever. He is stone faced in every movie he's ever been in, including comedies like Friday. When the guy chops his own finger off trying to cut open a can, Ice Cube's reaction, like, I honestly want to talk to John Carpenter and be like, what did you do during shooting that scene? Because it was as if Ice Cube really watched that guy accidentally chop his finger off. Funniest thing Ice Cube's ever seen in his entire life.
I would agree with that, because I actually think that they like didn't tell him, because I'll be honest, Ice Cube's acting is rough in this, and he's already been acting for quite some time to this point, but in this one it didn't seem great. He really hits his stride at barbershopping a year later.
Yeah. I'm fine with that too. I'm a huge barbershop guy.
I fucking love the barbershops. But you know what, actually now I am going to give him more credit, because you're right, I can't think of a single role where he like, does he even laugh in Friday ever? All the fucking hijinks and shit going on in Friday, and I don't think he fucking cracks a smile.
He doesn't. Even in Barbershop.
Yeah, when I said it out loud, I was like, that motherfucker is such a mope in Barbershop. He's like never fucking happy in that.
When 21 Jump Street came out, like legitimately funny movies. Yeah, Ice Cube is so funny because he has no emotion throughout the whole thing. He's just angry. And Ride Along, he's just angry the entire time. And I think it was either Channing Tatum or Jonah Hill. They're on one of the talk shows promoting 21 Jump Street. And they were like, I've never seen Ice Cube like laugh. And the only time he like remotely showed emotion is when they were on a plane and he was watching himself in Friday. Like, he's watching
the fuck out of here. That's the funniest story. So Ice Cube is in this, which is great.
It's great. The star-studded cast.
Well, yeah, it is. But it's funny because he only has two of his common collabs in here, in Peter Jason and Robert Carradine. Those are the only two that he, you know.
Small roles.
The who?
Small roles.
Small roles. Oh, yeah, much smaller than previously. So they had that. You had Jason Statham. Let's start with him. He was originally going to play Desolation Williams, who we will learn, that's Ice Cube's role. But then they wanted some star power, so they were like, we got to get fucking Ice Cube. Okay. Who I did not realize he was that hot at the time, but, you know. I guess he was. So then Statham took the role of Jericho in this one. Statham only coming off of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and that other one. What's it called? Snatch.
Snatch?
Snatch, yeah. And then after this, he does The Transporter a year later. And then fucking, I think that's his launching point, really, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, truly, that's when he becomes, like, the Jason Statham we know in every fucking movie ever.
I mean, he's still, you see it in this movie. He is.
Jason Statham. He is for sure. He is for sure. But that one like launches like action star Jason Statham.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is crazy that he must have had that deal before this movie came out, because I don't think anyone would have watched this. Well, I don't think anyone would have an issue with him in the movie, but they would have had an issue with the fucking box office, which was $14 million box office on $28 million budget.
Not great. No, I'm sure the two Guy Ritchie movies you named were, he inked that transporter deal based on those.
Yeah, he had to have. Now, here's a question. This movie came in, I love that I like think of these things after I fucking, after I do all my notes, and I could have just looked this up so much sooner. It came in ninth in the box office in North America, but I want to know, what was the opening weekend? How am I going to look this up?
August 24th, 2001, box office.
Okay. Okay. Are you doing this? Are you taking the lead on this?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll keep talking. Because I want to know what was in the theaters at the time. Probably like...
I got it right here.
All right.
So right here it says it was 8th.
Okay.
Not that it matters. But there's 5 new movies in the top 12. Number 1 is a new movie, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Oh, wow.
The number 2 movie was American Pie 2. The number 3 movie was Rush Hour 2. The number 4 movie was another new movie, Summer Catch. Then we have The Others, Rat Race, The Princess Diaries, Ghosts of Mars, Captain Corelli's Mandolin, Planet of the Apes, The Curse of the Jade Scorpion, and Bubble Boy.
Jeez, Bubble Boy.
That's the one with that Jake Gyllenhaal, right?
So I'm gonna pitch a theory here. This is pre 9/11.
It's a month. It's a couple weeks before.
That's crazy. Okay. My theory was going to be like, hey, no one wanted to go fucking see Ghosts of Mars. They wanted to go see fucking Jay and Silent Bob and like laugh their balls off. But they probably didn't help. Sure. But anyway, you also have a character, Lieutenant Ballard. They originally cast Michelle Yao in that role.
Okay.
Well, they didn't. She turned it down. But then they cast Courtney Love. That's a true casting.
Yeah, yes, yes.
And then she left the project, which I think we're all better for, maybe. I don't know. Cube's acting up against Courtney Love's acting. Holy shit, that would have been something.
That would have been something. What has Courtney Love been in to warrant a leading role like that?
I don't know. I feel like she's been in something.
Say whole. Like, yeah, I know she's whole. Like, what acting? That?
She ended up being replaced by Natasha Henstridge, best known for Species.
Do you remember the stranglehold Species had on them pre-adolescent?
Oh. The horniest alien movie of all time.
I can distinctly remember going into movie theaters and just seeing that cardboard cutout.
Yes.
The original Thirst Trap, I would have to say. Like, you just saw that. And you're like, I need to see Species. I don't care what the plot is. I just have to find a way to watch this.
The sexiest S of all time.
All time.
It was fucking, I loved that. And then she kind of fell off after that. She was in a Beauty and the Beast show in 2015, which reminded me of that fucking old show. Remember the old Beauty and the Beast show?
Yeah, Ron Perlman.
Yeah, fucking disgusting.
He barely had any makeup on. It's just himself. You know, watch that one from 2015, obviously.
Dude, Ron Perlman's face in that is so nuts. That's fucking crazy. Why does he look like a lion?
I don't know.
Interesting. So you have that. That's Natasha. You got Clea DuVall from The Faculty. She's in this. Joanna Cassidy, who plays, I just referred to her as the hot air balloon woman. Her name is Whitlock.
Yeah.
She was Dolores in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, she's in Blade Runner. Yeah. Don't Tell Mom the Baby's Dead.
Yeah, and who can forget her major role in Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector.
Of course.
Which, is that his second movie, seeing as though it had a tag?
Sound like it.
That's fucking nightmare. And then you got Rex Lynn in this, who is one of those dudes that's been a bad guy in everything you could ever fucking imagine. Just the most hateable, bald, white guy face. You know what I mean? Like, he looks like a fucking prick. He just looks like he's gonna fucking be a nightmare. And he plays it well. And he's fucking Reba McEntire's husband. Or was? Good, I don't know if they're still married. But yeah, good for him. And I must...
They've only been dating since 2020.
Oh.
That's nuts.
That's so weird. That just seems like an 80s... like.
Well, they're both like 89 years old. 2020? You're fucking kidding me.
And the last mention we have to give on this is a Buckethead on the soundtrack.
Dude, what a soundtrack. Buckethead, Steve Vai, Anthrax, and John Carpenter.
Yeah, what a soundtrack. Where they chose to play the Anthrax song was like, I was just like, give me a fucking headache. Oh, fucking nuts. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be back to start Ghosts of Mars.
We're only 22 minutes in. It's not bad.
That's not
start
bad.
Talking about the movie.
No. Well, I mean, to be fair, we have been talking about the movie. Usually it's not even remotely about facts about the movie. So we're just talking about, you know.
Yeah, this is like the most on point we've been.
Because
it's a good movie.
Because it's a great, because it's a good. Lots to break apart here, analyze the themes.
Can I just skip ahead? I've been dying to ask you or just talk to you about this part. Ice Cube's crew, right? As we find out, he has a crew.
Yeah.
These guys get bamboozled more than anyone, like in any movie or any cartoon.
Yes.
Do they get trapped into the species? Like, he traps them in jail cells like every other scene. They're just like, woo. And it's just because she steps behind them. So she's out of their sight.
There is so much cartoon shit. The end where she's looking at the binoculars, she is so close to doing the woo into the camera. She's so fucking close. Because she looks through the binoculars and like one of the ghosts of Mars.
No, Big Daddy Mars is staring at her from
Big Daddy, 20 miles. Big Daddy Mars is the Marilyn Manson guy, isn't it? Or no?
Yeah. I thought this was...
No, it was like some other scrub. Just some other fucking ghost. But again, it doesn't matter. It's 20 miles away and he like looks up, like looks her dead in the eyes. She's like, gulp.
She's like, we've been spotted.
It was fucking nuts. I want to shout out somebody. Just speaking of going off the rails, Cleo S. She sent us a message through our website, and she was very adamant. She must have heard us talking about how people don't like the rants, but she was like, "The Dog's Journey" or whatever it's called.
Oh yeah,
she was like, I was at work and I had to like fucking excuse myself because I was about to fucking piss my pants. Like, it was like one of the funniest conversations you guys have ever had. She's like, so please continue that. And I was like, yeah, that was fucking good. That was good. Anyway, I just wanted to drop her name. So this movie takes place in Mars, on Mars, where we're terraforming. We're at 84% complete. Dude, this movie came in so hot. I was like, not right. I started like fumbling my laptop.
Dude, so much info.
It was spraying across the screen, and meanwhile, there's people talking. I like couldn't even. I was like, what the fuck? Just I felt like I got punched in the face.
Which all the info they give you could have been one single text and just like pause, you know, for a minute. But it's just one line, like rapid fire, like you're saying. I did the same thing. I was like, I feel like I should write this down because it's like important. Yeah. But
hey, guess what? It's not.
I mean, honestly, that's a great point. The terraforming 84% complete.
Why?
Kind of irrelevant.
Why do we care about that? Well, especially because they over-explain a lot in this movie, and they explain like the situation on Mars. They're like, one of the women says something along the lines of something like, she's like, the air quality's not quite to Earth yet. I think she gives a percentage, like, or she's like, we're still 10 years away from Earth air.
Right.
So like you get all of this info, like it says population 640,000 in the opening. And later on, they're like, this place was a bustling hub of people, including like a weird random overlay showing how busy it once was.
Right. Which means they were probably born there, correct? Like,
no.
Some of the younger. They traveled there from Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was ever born there.
No, I think there's still like, well, maybe people have been born there. I don't know. They're still like working on it. They're terraforming, Joe. They're only 84%. Come on.
I guess I just don't know what that means.
I don't know. I mean, terraforming is like cultivating the land, like making it habitable. That's all, though. But it seems pretty fucking happy.
They're not wearing masks. Hey, they're walking around freely.
So let's talk about the masks real quick, because they are wearing masks. They say, put on your breathers. You're like, oh.
Okay.
Oh, okay. And then they all put on glasses. And they're like, oh, thank goodness. And that's... they put on glasses to breathe. John Carpenter's big fucking... What if the sunglasses are what keeps you breathing air?
I would love to talk to John Carpenter specifically about this movie, because it is as if he was like, what if I took the thing and made it dumb? You know, that's that was like the only premise.
What if
that's what it is, escaping and bouncing around, you know?
What if the thing, yeah, you're right. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I guess that's kind of what it is. And then make an army of orcs.
And then have the POV from the movie Fallen, when the spirit is going body to body.
And we're going to use every trope you could ever imagine in it. We won't go a scene without a trope in it. It's great. So we meet Ballard, who is a cop. Oh, and by the way, one thing we should mention is one of the sentences at the beginning is that Earth law is being enforced by Mars police. That's an important fact. Because there's cops everywhere. This is a cop movie first.
It's like The Wire, yeah. But that makes me believe that some of them were born and raised on Mars, because it's Mars police force. Like, if they're just traveling from Earth, why wouldn't they just be policed by Earth police that are on Mars? I don't know.
These people came from another place.
Did you mention that Pam Grier was in this before?
I didn't. Pam is in it. Because, you know, I didn't write her name down, because I was like, I don't need to like go through Pam's history. But yeah, Pam's in this. It was nice to see. Although she drops one of the first bad lines in this movie, when she says, listen, I know you think you're some pretty tough hombres. Okay. John, what are you writing? Like, you're like a fucking genius. Like, that's the dialogue you've chosen. Pretty tough hombres. In the year 2176, no one's saying that phrase anymore. Anyway, so we meet this Lieutenant Ballard. She is being questioned about the events that happened at Shining Canyon, which usually, like, these things seem so dramatic, you think that it's like, it's been a while. And they're like, she's like, well, it started last Friday. And you're like, what the fuck?
Fresh, brand new.
What the fuck? And her team was sent to saying last Friday is so funny to me. I don't know why. And her team was sent up to pick a prisoner. The prisoner is Ice Cube, who goes by the name of James Desolation Williams.
Great name. You don't like the name?
Desolation? What a fucking mouthful.
Come on. That's an old school exploitation homage.
Is it?
It's a badass name.
Desolation means a feeling of emptiness and hopelessness.
I know what it means.
I didn't. Or the state of being destroyed or devastated. All right. Well, and he's a bad hombre. Speaking of bad hombres.
He is a bad hombre.
Well, so we're told. And then the rest of the movie, he is like a pretty considerate fella.
Yeah, that's true.
He's really not a bad guy. And he's pretty reasonable also. And loves cracking up and cracking jokes. But in this one, they're like, we go to the flashback. So we flash back to these events. They're on this train. They're going to go pick up James Desolation Williams. And she's like, doesn't he just like murder a ton of people? And they're like, yeah, but he always gets away with it because he claims self-defense. Wait, what? How many times does that work? But they're like, but this time the body was mutilated and old James Williams has some crazy story about it. That is not revealed in the movie, I don't think, though. I don't think he's like, yeah, it was the ghosts of Mars. Because that's right. What I assumed was happening.
I mean, listen, I did have fun with this, but there's a lot to be left desired. Like, why didn't his crew break him out earlier?
Dude, just hiding in a mountain? Waiting for Jason Statham.
Waiting for more problems and more headaches. Because Ice Cube's there. Everyone else has been, like, taken care of by the ghosts of Mars.
Yeah.
So that would have been a perfect time for them to...
And the ghosts of Mars don't seem to be doing a whole lot when left alone. They're just hanging out in a crater.
They're honestly having a rave.
90%. Yeah, they are. Dude. That rave is so close to where the train drops them off and like where they hang out for 90% of the movie. And they are the loudest group of individuals screaming in this pit. You think anyone would have taken a gander? Don't worry though. That comes with our second tertiary flashback.
Yes.
Flashback within a flashback. So.
So funny.
What, the flashbacks?
It's piling on flashbacks.
Dude, it's fucking nuts. It's fucking nuts. When we do the Ving Rhames one, which is part of the Statham one, which is part of the Ballard one.
Wait, Ving Rhames isn't in this?
Oh yeah. No, I figured that out after. I also thought John Carpenter was in this.
As who?
As with the old guy in the jail cell. And he's definitely not. And I did the same thing with Ving Rhames, where I was like, oh... That's not Ving Rhames. Who's the guy that Uno, Dos, and Trace?
Uno, his name's Dwayne Davis. He's an Under Siege.
Oh, okay. He looks like
a... I can see it.
Actually, it was more his voice that sold me on it.
I mean, you know, like in Pulp Fiction, Ving's always kind of... like almost breaking the fourth wall, just looking pissed and being like, damn.
Dude, which is what this guy excels at in this movie. Cause
he's the one I was talking about. Like he's the one that keeps getting bamboozled.
Yes.
He's very close to looking at the camera to be like, what?
he's something else. He's something else in this. Why did I bring him up?
I don't know.
Oh, I was talking about his flashback, which was him.
Oh, yeah.
Him looking at the rave and being like, what?
again, almost dancing at the audience. Shaking his fist.
Oh my God, it's so nutty. But that was my favorite one. His flashback under Statham's, under Ballard's. Yeah. That's fucking crazy. That's fucking crazy. And it's from their point. It's so nuts. It's so fucking crazy. Like, again, I would love to talk. If if we ever get to talk to John Carpenter, we have to be like, this is the movie we're talking about.
Yeah, respectfully. I just want to talk about
respectfully. I feel like he would be down with that. I feel like he'd be like, thank God they're not gonna ask me fucking, well, did Michael survive the fall? You know what I mean? Like shit like that. Right, you know what I mean? Like he's like probably like, thank fucking God. Yeah, I'll talk about Ghosts of Mars. And then we ask him equally shitty questions about that.
Even worse questions.
So was Dwayne Davis ever, dude, ask him it like it's the end of the thing. Like such a great profound ending in the thing. We're like, so what's the real ending to Ghost of Mars?
Dude, I thought, I honestly, give him kudos because I thought he was going to do that at the end.
I did too. And instead, he tags on the most insane, tropey action movie ending. I could not even fucking handle it. I'm so excited to talk about it. That's the best part of the movie.
Like, honestly, like the ending of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Here we go again. Oh, fuck. That's so nice.
Setting up a buddy cop scene.
Dude, that's what they did. Anyway, so they get to this planet. The city is usually filled with money, drugs, and whores, as they told us that. I'm not saying that. They start investigating buildings. They start seeing weird shit. There's no one around. Everyone's gone. Jason Statham says, this is not making me happy. This is not making me happy. That's when he sees a dead person's hand. That's his comment. This is not making me happy.
I am a Jason Statham fanatic. I have to admit it. Everything that he's in, just hearing his voice. Cause I
love it.
Of all the British voices, his is the most British. And I just don't know how he gets at that.
Do you have anything else to say about that? You didn't like the accent in this, though.
No, it's not that I didn't like it. It's just, I kind of what I was alluding to at the beginning, I feel like they should have been born there. I feel like he shouldn't have that thick of a British accent.
Okay, you were really stuck on the Born on Mars thing.
I was.
That's such a funny thing to be like.
Well, it's like George Washington fought against, you know, but he was born in America. Like, he didn't come from England.
George Washington was born in America?
Yeah, sure.
That's not fucking true. America wasn't even a thing, was it?
Dude, I'm pretty sure he was born in America. Let me look this up.
Is he the first American?
No, he's not the first American. His Wikipedia page is giving me a fucking headache. I've never seen more information crammed into like the first paragraph. I just want to know where he was born at.
Oh, what?
Yeah, dude, he was born in Virginia. In 1732. So that's what I'm saying. Like, this is 2172 or whatever it was. I feel like he wouldn't be that British.
No. And I mean, I would argue that I feel like by 2172, I feel like a lot of accents are going to be like,
that's what I'm saying. I don't have regardless. A problem with it being British. It's just accent in general. I feel like they should have a Martian accent at this point.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to have a British guy. You know, these guys are kooky. Maybe he was frozen. Listen.
Hey, okay. I'm fine with that.
They look everywhere. Everyone's dead. They can't reach the train, who's their transport anymore. They find prisoners, which was a little odd to me because there's a few loopholes in this plot that, everyone is murdered, like decimated. Like everyone's just like, it's a fucking massacre. Like people are coming in being like, holy fuck, everyone's dead. And then you go like walk into the prison and everyone's just like, boy, you should have seen what happened in here. And you're like, what the fuck? And they just left you guys. Why? It's so bizarre. Well, the prisoners actually, when they walk in, are like, oh man, you're 6 hours late for my fucking piss break. And we get a flashback within a flashback again, but this time we get the flashback of this woman who I guess was traveling across Mars via hot air balloon. Now, I don't know if we don't have the air of Earth. I don't know how a hot air balloon is going to work. And I mean that in the sense of, I don't know.
Right.
I actually have no idea, but I feel like it's like, has a lot to do with oxygen and the gravity of the planet. But hey, what do I know? Are you searching if a hot air balloon can work on Mars?
I am. Yes.
Is there an answer?
It says the Google answer is probably not.
Dude, you're the first person stump Google.
Thank probably. That's so funny.
Probably not. I guess it's as good as mine. Well, it doesn't work so hot for her either, because she crashes her hot air balloon and she crashes in this town and for some reason is in jail. I don't really know why. Now, we have been built up with this premise that they have to come in here. They have to find Desolation. Desolation Williams. Is that his last name? Williams. They have to find Desolation Williams. You're like, oh, fuck, this is going to be a cat and mouse game. Desolation Williams is in jail.
Incapacity. Like, there is no problem.
No. Right? He's in fucking jail. He's fine. So that was fun. That was a fun reveal. And you're just like, well, I guess the job's done. And then Lieutenant Ballard says something to him, and Statham like pulls her aside and is like, you can't call him a fucking asshole. He's a real jerk. He's gonna kill you. Okay. I think it's okay to call him an asshole.
I mean, they are really, the dialogue is, its purpose here is to make him like the biggest villain of all time, which, like you said, genuinely a pretty decent man.
A very reasonable guy. Like, given the circumstances, is like, we'll listen to you and hear you out and be like, oh, yeah, suppose you're right.
The main characters, the conversation between the two of them for the entire rest of the movie is just, you'd make a pretty good cop. You'd be like, well, you would make a pretty good criminal. They say it like 20 times.
Dude, they have that whole fucking, you know, cops and crooks. We're not alike. Like the worst fucking, I hate that dialogue so much. And when I heard it, I was like, again, this is John Carpenter writing this. Like, dude, come on. Like, are you serious? Like, that's, you can't put that in a movie. Like, you can't. You can't do that. There's not a big difference between cops and crooks. And of course, this cop has like a pill addiction, which is only like put in for this scene. Where he's like, you're high right now. She's like, oh, fuck. Maybe we are alike. That pills, that nothing else, that is never discussed again, really. Her taking pills.
Oh.
Oh, God, this guy, he's on to me. Well, Desolation Williams. Honestly, if that conversation continued, he'd probably be like, I have a good place that can get you some help if you really want it. Like, such a good guy,
Desolation.
Listen, I know a few places. They probably got some free spots if I talk to them. All right, we're gonna take a break. We'll come right back.
Dude, the end was fun. I can't wait to talk to about the ending.
All right, we're back. The ending? You mean the very last scene?
I mean the last scene. Well. The last time you think you see the two of them on screen together.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I think so. Oh, yes. Yes, I do know what you're saying. Yeah, no, that scene is fucking ridiculous also. But we can hold it, because that ending is the best part. And I feel like we should wait for that one in this one, because it's just such a great string together of moment after, because you think the movie's going to end and it doesn't. It just keeps going and keeps going. But
But like we said, it doesn't end like I thought it would.
I'm on board. I'm on board now with Joe because I want to be like, what a fucking nightmare. But John Carpenter just kept being like, well, what if we add this to the end? Somebody was like, what? Why would you do it? And it gets added. And then he's like, well, but what if that's not the end and this is the end?
That's what I'm saying.
And Plex, I'm
a Ghost of Mars apologist.
Plex has this skip credits option, and usually it pops up when there's something at the end. And I was like, dude, please tell me there's an after credits sequence in this. I would have fucking cried, but there was not. I was so upset. I was so fucking upset. So anyway, they end up finding this freaky little gal who has the red vision that Joe mentioned earlier. And Ballard tells us she's a cop, but she seems possessed. And then Pam Grier and Ballard go outside and they get attacked and they see all sorts of Martian ghost vision, which, like, what even are these things, man? What are these things? Hot air balloon woman.
She gives an explanation,
which is hilarious because she's like, I have no idea what these are, but what I think it is, and then she explains everything about them.
She does, but it also explains the most to explain the least, because I still don't know what they are.
No, she makes no sense.
Dude, she gives this analogy of, like, you know how when it rains, there's organisms, but then the rain dries and they go away, but then it comes back when the rain comes again? She's like, that's what these are, except they're just on Mars, and we disturb them. It doesn't explain anything. I still don't know what the fuck they are.
And then at the end, she's like, I that's just what I think. You're like, what? Why are we listening to you? The fuck was that all about? She's a good mangle expert. She's a good one. Because she'll come back and explain something else.
Terrible mangle expert. I mean,
the best, worst mangle expert. I guess you're right. She's brutal. She's brutal in this. And what is the other thing she explains? Oh, she suddenly explains, like, the whole ghost thing. But she's like, it's the, dude, everything she explains is like this bizarre metaphor. She's like, it's like when the wind is blowing and it's just, that's what passes around the spirit. And you're like, what the fuck? This, I got nothing. I don't know what you're fucking saying.
Thanks, Lenny. I'll just go figure it out myself.
Man. So the ghost people are doing weird stuff. We see guys getting their throats slashed. They're sticking stuff in their skin. Ice Cube comes in hot. Oh, Ice Cube escapes somehow. I don't know how, or if he was let out. He takes a cop hostage. Ballard tries to stop him, only to get knocked out. When he comes to, Ice Cube's escaped. He's stolen a shotgun, which that scene is fucking hilarious because Ballard comes outside to some guy who's looking for him actively. And she's like, and I bet you're going to tell me he stole your shotgun. And he's and he's like, yeah, he did.
But I thought how he escapes is funny, too, because she like kicks the shit out of him.
Yes.
And he's like, I like you already. And it just bops her in the nose. And the next thing is that she wakes up and he's gone.
Dude, she wakes up like she's been out cold for hours. He just fucking knocked her in the nose a little bit. Absolutely killed her.
Again, she kicked the shit out of him. Like, he should have been done for.
Which, by the way, not a great sell on a guy that we're, like, talking about is, like, the greatest killer in Mars history.
The baddest
of bad. Yeah. Fucking nuts. Anyway, what do we have here? We got Ghosts of Mars try and attack her with an axe. Oh yeah, so she goes looking for him and she gets attacked. This is the first like real attack from these Ghosts of Mars, which I don't even know what to call them. They're not ghosts, by the way, guys. They're orcs. They're like they're people that sharpened their teeth,
right?
Yeah. Took the time they're to aliens. File down their teeth. They get possessed.
Calling it Ghosts of Mars.
It's fucking crazy, dude. Calling it Ghosts of Mars, which is the only reference to that, is a sarcastic comment at the end of the movie that somebody makes.
By the judge, right?
By the judge.
Yeah.
there's a sarcastic comment where she's like, well, I guess we'll just tell them it's Ghosts on Mars. And you're like, that's where the name comes from.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She's saying it like, what if she's saying it like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And John Carpenter was like, let's name the movie that.
And you said it in the beginning, and like, now I'm just longing for Ice Cube to be like, oh, hell, go fight these Ghosts of Mars.
Well, you kind of like, the end sets, like, at the end, that's the Ice Cube you get. And you're like, man, you should have just given that to me the whole fucking time.
Right.
Like, why bother with all this other horseshit? Just, yeah, let him be like, I want to fight Big Daddy Mars. Big Daddy Mars has been on my ass for 5 years. And he framed me.
Dude, being framed by the singer of Head PE.
Oh, man. And so she goes into the cell looking for him. She finds these monsters who attack her. And Ice Cube pops out and saves the day. Saves the cops that are chasing him.
Yeah.
And he's also, by the way, just punching these monsters in the face. Like, not even using firearms. Just, like, fist fighting monsters that we're supposed to be afraid of. So there's this weird Ice Cube's kind of a good guy already happening here. We keep seeing a lot more of this, like, ghost vision where the spirit of these Martian ghosts escapes and can re-enter a body. It can enter anybody. And in this scene, it has a bunch of people outside of the prison, outside of the jail, and instead goes into a guy that's locked in a jail cell for whatever reason.
Great point.
There's more people outside the cell than in the cell. And we're watching it from the POV. Right next to it.
Yeah.
We're watching it from the POV, and it's like going up to their faces and then like turns around and goes into some old guy that's locked up in jail. Fucking unreal. But anyway, you get that. You get the we're the same, you and me speech from Ice Cube. And then we go back to the inquiry, and they're like, the original story, like present time. And they're like, hey, so what happened to the commander? And now we go to a flashback from Jericho's perspective, Statham's perspective. And it includes a recap of where we last saw him. We already saw this scene. Like, they pick up from another. And I actually didn't mind this. Like, I was like, okay, if this is the route we're going, like, I'm fine. Like, we're piecing together this story. Yeah. It might be a whodunit. Who knows? I don't know. But that's not the case. And then that's, they go into that perspective for like 2 seconds, and then that's it. Because we watch him watch the ghosts beheading people. They're putting heads on pikes, and it's Pam Grier's head.
Yep.
And now he's mad.
Can we also talk about how horned up Jason Statham's character is in this?
I mean,
it also kind of pays off for him at the
end. Joe, that fucking thing. Okay, so he sexually harasses the lieutenant from the gym, right?
Yeah.
She does not want any part of it. Very traditional movie-esque type of banter there where she's just like, go fuck yourself kind of thing, right?
Right. Right.
At the end.
No, she's like, we have a mission to do.
Yeah.
Like, well, I'll try, you know?
Yeah. At the end, he tricks her into coming.
Tricks her. Hold on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, this is your thing.
They are in like dire straits, right?
Everyone
that they know is being picked apart. Everything that they've set there to accomplish has failed. Like, they're in trouble. So of all times to play a trick, this is like the lowest on the pull, right? So like any other person, if you trick somebody into going to the room during this situation, you'd be like, you'd get punched, right? Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, now's not the time. Especially if you've been sexually harassing her the entire movie, right?
Right.
So he does it. He tricks her to go into a room, and she's like, are you? And she's like, did you really just trick me into coming in here so like we could fuck. And he's like, well, I figured I might as well, because like time's running out for us. Like, this is my last chance. And she's just like, you know what? You are right. and jumps on him.
It was unreal. I could not believe that happened, because I was really bummed out when he tricked her in there, because I was like, man, like, this is going to be like rapey. I was like bummed out. I was like, because I liked the Statham character was kind of like shitty, but like he was getting better. He was redeeming himself a lot.
Yeah.
And then to see her be like, because she's like, well, why not? And then she goes in and you're like, oh, she's going to like grab him by the fucking nuts or something, or like punch him in the face. They just fucking make out, and it's interrupted by something going on. The gunfire.
The ball firing her gun at something.
She just shoots that fucking old guy for no reason. She's like, I'm sick of looking at him. Yeah. Which we've already learned at that point releases the spirit, so it's going to infect somebody else. Like, all you have to do is not kill him, actually. Like, that's literally all you have to do.
He's not bothering anyone.
No, and she's like, he's locked up. And that was her actual response. She was like, I can't stand looking at that thing. What the fuck? Somebody should have put a fucking bullet in her head. But no, yeah, that was so weird, because they both looked disappointed, like when the gunshots went off.
Oh yeah, they were interrupted.
What a fucking weird thing. What a weird moment to include in that. That was so fucking hilarious. I'm so glad you brought that up. That was bizarre. Back to where we are. Oh, we see the rave. Shout out to the girl with the dismembered hands on her titties.
Yes. Yes.
That was quite the move.
Agreed.
Yeah. Liked that a lot.
This movie rules, dude. Got it all.
Yeah, it does. Hey, listen. You know what? I'm on board now. I'm here. I'm with it. I wanted to read Ghosts of Mars parent guide. I wanted to read that thing I posted on our Instagram. The cursing. Yeah. The cursing.
I like that as a gimmick. We should post that weekly.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't,
even though we announced what our show is going to be, but
I don't know if anyone does that. See, so here's what sucks is I think these are submitted by people, like users. We have to find out who this user is and just find their reviews, because I've never seen them worded like that before on the parents guide. Anyway, under profanity, there's this amazing post, and it lists every profanity said in the fucking movie. But I loved it because it would have in parentheses paired with. So for instance, 27 uses of fuck, and then in parentheses, 4 paired with mother. 14 uses of shit, 19 uses of hell, 8 uses of ass, 1 paired with hole, 1 use of damn, 1 paired with God. No, 4 uses of damn, yeah, 1 paired with God. 2 uses of bitch, 1 use of prick, 1 use of Jesus Christ, 1 use of Jesus, 1 use of dyke, 1 use of titty, 1 use of piss. So we posted on our Instagram, and we got so many people being like, what Rob Zombie movie are you doing?
And which is a great guess.
It is a really great guess when you see all those words strung together. Great guess. No, it is John Carpenter this time.
Jay Carp.
coming in hot with it. Anyway. So that's that. So we get more flashbacks of things that don't matter. Hot air balloon lady tells us that she actually let out the fucking ghost of Mars by unearthing something that was not human. Which you don't say, you're on fucking Mars, lady. Like, the fuck you talking about? Of course it's not human. Oh boy. They encounter another Mars ghost. Does that kill Weather Balloon Lady? I think she does. No, I don't know. No, because she explains. I don't know who it kills. Anyway, Statham shows up with a bunch of new people that no one's aware of. and tells us that they're miners that he found. They're not. They are Desolation Williams' posse that he found in a mine, and they have come to break out Desolation Williams.
Yes.
Thank goodness. And Statham's like, oh, come the fuck on. Dude. He's so disappointed in them. He's like, you said you were mine. He's actually most upset that they said we're not armed. We don't have guns. Only the police have guns. And he's like, only the police have guns. Because they pull out like shotguns from under their giant cloaks that they're wearing. He's like, well, only the police have guns. You fucking lied to me.
And that's what I'm saying in the beginning. Like, as soon as these three are introduced, this movie becomes like almost cartoonish.
Yes.
Like shoot 'em up cartoonish.
Yes.
You know? Like,
yes. It turns into that.
Tom and Jerry, like, outdoing each other.
It absolutely does. And they are the ones that tell us that the ghosts are miners that went berserk. That's when we get that other flashback. And that is the three flashbacks, a flashback within a flashback within a flashback. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, no, I said that. Oh, they're like, as they're about to break out Desolation Williams, Ballard's like, give me your word. You're not going to hurt anybody. He's like, I never give my word. Like, what a statement. I never give my word. And then he's like, these are my compadres, uno, dos, and tres. So much Spanish used on Mars, it's fucking incredible.
But like, you know, the most elementary.
Right, right. Everyone's just saying hombre, padre, uno, dos, tres.
Again, that parallel between criminal and cop, because Ice Cube's like, I never give my word. She's like, I never unlock prison cells.
I never unlock prison. Also, one of the compadres, one of the uno, dos, and tres, threatens to like cut off her titty.
He does.
It was a wild moment.
Yeah.
Very heated exchange. Anyway, she releases all the prisoners and was like, you're all deputized now. Okay, cool. And then we finally get a solid Carpenter score in this moment. Like a real like old school, as they just arming themselves to the teeth. Really dug that. I like that. And then from here on out, it does just become the most insane action movie you could ever imagine. They walk into the city. The ghosts of Mars are on the rooftops, hundreds of them. There's maybe 12 of these people. They're on the rooftop. They have higher ground. They could just fucking execute them. And they are throwing like weapons at them. And the gang is just all running as fast as they can. And then Ballard's like, what are we going to do? How are we going to fix this? And Ice Cube says, what we should have done in the first place. And then he screams, and I don't know what he said. He said, come on, you something, motherfuckers. It sounded like minus. Come on, you minus motherfuckers.
Minor?
Minor. That makes sense. Minor motherfuckers. Yeah. I was so good. I was like, what the fuck is this guy saying? Come on, you minor motherfuckers. And then they proceed to run into another area of the city that is just overrun with the ghosts of Mars. And he's just got two submachine guns pointed out to his left and his right, just shooting blindly, looking forward, shooting to his left and his right blindly, running forward. And then everyone joins him. Everyone's doing the same thing. Most chaotic fucking shit I've ever seen in my life.
You remember when we covered John Carpenter's Vampires, mm-hmm. which came out 3 years before this? Very similar to when they finally go to war with the vampires.
Yes.
Chaos.
I think this is like secretly what John loves.
I do too. And I'm fine with it. Dude, he already established himself. And now he ended his career doing what he loved. Making ridiculous action movies.
The trailer for the Toxic Commandos video game that he is a part of is this movie, but with zombies. And it's just, they're in this insane weaponized vehicle running over zombies. I forget what classic like 80s song they're listening to. It's like fucking Journey or something in the car, and they're like, aah! And they're just like fucking shooting fucking grenades out of the fucking, it's fucking nuts. This is what he loves. He loves just chaos.
Yeah. Just Mad Max inspired action.
Dude, this is so Mad Max inspired. I actually had a comment about that, because the first time you see the miners in the rave area, I was like, this is a fucking Mad Max. This is a group of Mad Max villains.
That's what he wanted to make.
So that's that. All-out war breaks out. There's only 10 of them. Our guy, Dwayne, he gets possessed first. They hold back up into the building. And, oh, I already revealed that part. That's when Jericho, when they they're holed up in the building, the fucking monsters are pounding down the door. And that's when Jericho invites Ballard back to have sex. Just fucking wild. And when that cop from the faculty shoots the guy, the spirit goes into Ballard. And Ballard starts having visions of, like, am I wrong in this? Like, lizard frogmen? Did you notice that, or am I insane?
No, I did not notice that.
I would suggest you go to this point in the movie and just take a gander, because
I'm going to pull it up right now.
I thought, at first, I was like, that must, and I, like, rewound it, and I was like, that looks like a fucking frog. I don't know. It's very odd.
Dude, I'm at an hour and 7 minutes, and like the Mad Max compare, they're in an all-terrain vehicle that came from Mad Max 2. It's crazy.
So what, what would the timestamp be on this? So I don't know where the timestamp would be.
So I'm at a minute or an hour 13, and they're pretty much in like, what do you call those things? Like a storage container. It's four of them fighting 300 of the orcs running in, but we're eliminating all of them.
It's right before that.
Okay.
It's right before that. Cause that's the storage container is when they're holed up in there. That's when Jason Statham tries to have, it might be a while though, because a while before it, because she gets possessed. She becomes one of them. She sees this like frog creature in her visions that Joe's going to confirm. But then she's just like, I will not. And then just spits the sand out.
Willpower. Yeah, dude, the CGI sand that comes out.
And that's it. She's like, hey, I fixed that. I just didn't become one.
All right, it's at 106. Let's see here. Her eyes are in the back of her head. There's a bunch of sand exploding. There's like the Crusades.
Right. Like, I think it's a frog person. I think it's a frog person. Look, keep looking. It's like a lizard frog man.
Are you sure it's just Big Daddy Mars, like a close-up on his
face? That's what I thought, but I don't know.
I mean, you know what? When he's holding his arms up, he looks like a battle toad.
Yeah, that's what I'm
making. Oh, here. Oh, he's a reptile.
Right?
Yeah, he's a reptile. For sure. Good call.
What a little thing to throw into Ghosts of Mars and not acknowledge
a reptilian overlord. And like, you know, I could be remiss for not picking up on that, because in a movie that has flashbacks, this is like the scene is transparent and it's laying over her face as she's like writhing on the ground. So.
No, it's like almost about, that's why I was like, it could be anything. Like, I don't know what I'm seeing, but that's what I see.
Oh, yeah, he's a reptilian overlord.
Maybe it's a shout out to Hell Comes to Frogtown.
I also had that thought just now.
Which I always associate with John Carpenter just because Piper's in it, but.
Because of They Live, yeah. I mean, maybe it is not an homage to his buddy Roddy.
Cheers. Probably not. Probably for just sure. Like, let's make a frog guy. What does the CGI do? Boy, well, she doesn't turn into one. She just gets a sword. They plan this big escape where they're going to blow up. Well, actually, they're free to escape. And then she's like, you have to stop this fucking train right now. And literally everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking about? She's like, we got to finish this. So she actually is responsible for the murder of, you know, six people because.
Agreed.
Everyone would have escaped perfectly fine. And instead, no one escapes except her and Ice Cube. Spoilers. Anyway, they go back. They decide to blow up this nuclear facility. This is when she looks out her binoculars and a ghost spots her. And then chaos is just, Joe, I had no idea what was happening because they were just kind of like, let's blow up the nuclear plant. And then there's some people on a train and the train is fucking moving and they're throwing fucking grenades out of the train like a fucking cartoon. Like they're just hucking grenades out the fucking train. And then they just like hop off the train and are like, running with the train and they're fighting an army of monsters.
Hundreds. Hundreds.
Of fucking monsters. I do not understand what happens, but she sets it up to blow up and then gets to the train and then it's like, we got to get 2 miles out of here, which seems pretty easy for a train in the year 2147, but I think the fucking New Haven Red Line could get me 2 miles away in like a minute. So pretty sure.
A minute.
Pretty sure 2147, this train could do it also. But she's like, we got to get out of here. And it does explode. But our only survivors are Ice Cube and her.
I pulled this up on IMDb just now, the quote section, to remember what Ice Cube said. Because I know it ended with motherfucker, of course. But I love that it says Desolation Williams. Then in parentheses on IMDb, it says to Big Daddy Mars. See you later. See you later, you big motherfucker.
Oh, I had that one written down. While they're on the train, Big Daddy Mars and his compadre attack them. Because they hopped the train. And they kill him. when we come back to... I feel like it's because she's waking up. We see old Desolation Williams taking care of her. And he's like, oh, sorry, the stitches aren't so good. You might have a scar. And like, oh, I got to take care of you. Are you feeling okay? And then he's like, let me get you a blanket. Psych. And then handcuffs her to the fuck. He's so close to actually saying psych. It's fucking nuts.
Yes. Yes. And she's giving the speech like, you're free to go. Like, you're going to be pardoned. Like, you've done so much for me. Like, we've really turned a corner. And then, yeah, like you said, he is so close to being like, nah.
And he's like, and he's like, you think I'm going to let you stay here? And she's like, they both pull guns on each other.
Yeah.
And then he goes, what are you going to do? Shoot me? And then he starts walking away. She goes, catch you later. And he's like, yeah.
I don't know why. And we haven't derailed really much in this episode at all, which is crazy about the Ghosts of Mars. But if I can for a second, this scene reminded me of that scene in Lords of Chaos where he's like, what are you looking for? Motley Crue CD? They have that conversation about being a poser, and he's like, well, that's something a poser would say. And,
yeah. It's the exact same delivery as that. What are you going to do? Shoot me? Fucking shoot me. What are you going to do? Fucking shoot me? And she says, catch you later. Mm-hmm. And they both get a gig. Get a little gigs and chucks out of that. We go back to the inquiry now, which is crazy because everything about this is true except the last minute, which she's like, well, and then
We didn't. I woke up and I was just handcuffed. So it's just hiding that one thing.
Yes.
And they release her. There's no real issue here. They're like, okay, that's all we need.
They tell her to go get some rest. Yeah. They're like, I don't believe you. You're not under more scrutiny.
Sounds good.
Thanks for your time.
And then she goes, I guess our statement is that Mars is being overrun by ghosts.
Yes.
That's the sarcasm.
There we have it.
And you think that's the end. It's not. Boom. Cut. Ballard's waking up. Emergency sirens blaring. Evacuations. All citizens need to evacuate. There's been a breach. There's an emergency. What's going on? The ghosts are back. And then you're looking at the door waiting for it to fucking burst open with the zombies. It blows open and in walks Desolation William, who has broken into a police medical facility, even though he's on the lam. And he says something along the lines of like, tide's high, we gotta roll, baby. And he's got two chrome-plated submachine guns now, and he tosses her one, and she's like, here we go again. And on the way out, they have this exchange that is one of the cringiest things I think we've ever covered. He goes, you'd make a hell of a crook. And she goes, you'd make a hell of a cop. And they both at the same time go, meh. And then he says, let's just kick some ass. And she says, it's what we do best. Roll credits. Setting up the buddy cop movie we've all been waiting for.
Get us John on the phone.
Please. More Ghosts of Mars.
That is what we need.
Is it more Ghosts of Mars, or is it going to be like Ghosts of Venus? Ghouls of Venus. Specters of Venus. And there's just no specters in it. It's just
more orcs.
More monsters.
Every planet in the solar system is inhabited by orcs.
that are born from lizard people, reptilians. Do you think John put that in there to like explain away like the sharp teeth thing, maybe?
I have no clue.
Because these are people.
He has 9 planets to make sequels to. And everyone should start with Desolation being in prison. Just waiting for someone to break him out.
And then you run it back. Number 10 is Mars again. And then it's Ghosts of Mars 2. Here we go again.
Here we go again.
In a perfect world, someday AI will get good enough where we can just like put that into a thing and just like at least like spit out like a trailer for us. I would love that.
Agree.
Let's go to Mars.
Yeah. You recommend it?
Yeah, for sure.
I do. Honestly, I really do.
Best movie I've ever seen, quite honestly. Did I even take our third break? I don't think I did. That's good. I'll just have to edit it in.
No, there. I think you did.
Oh, I just didn't write it down. Good. Well, Ghosts of Mars. Next week. We have a big surprise for next week.
We do. A big movie. A highly requested movie.
Highly requested. We're going to the well of good movies. We figured after Ghosts of Mars, we owed some of you a good movie. The Shining. The original. I pitched the miniseries, which is one of my favorite things ever, because I was a Steven Weber mark as a kid. Wings.
We should do that.
We actually should. Yeah. Yeah, that would be good, actually. That would be a good Patreon. Wait, do I have it? I have it on Plex, but I don't know if it's in episodes. It might just be one run-on thing. So maybe we do it for an episode. Unless it's fucking 10 hours. Actually, no, that would actually be super fun to do a movie in like 3 parts or 4 parts or whatever it is.
Yeah, let's do it.
Like, we'd leave on a cliffhanger every week. That would be fucking fun.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Well, yeah, let's do it after The Shining.
All right, deal.
We'll talk about The Shining. Yeah. So, Shining next week, and then we'll look into The Shining miniseries. Just in time for the Stannies, which we're working on the date, final date on that. And then, but it's a perfect time for the Stannies because a mini series, and we're going to have Paul on so he can tell me what a mini series is.
Explain to you what a mini series
is. An all time.
We've got 10 years of that, and it's still like my favorite recording that we've ever done. Ever. Making Langolier chop noises into the microphone.
Fucking nightmare. It's insane that people kept listening to us. Me being like, what is a Langolier? And him being like, a fucking miniseries, you idiot. Explain what a miniseries. Multiple parts.
Drumming on his leg. Somehow, we were recording in my living room. So we had like makeshift, you know, we were still wet behind the ears. So we had makeshift mic stands. Yeah. Somehow lowered it. Like into his fucking crotch. So the only thing that it could possibly pick up was the drumming on his quad.
Just pounding away over there. So that's what we got coming up. Yeah, I like the miniseries thing. I like the miniseries thing. How many parts is that though? Like how long? It's got to be at least. That was like Stephen King's prime of miniseries shit. Dude, the Stand miniseries was like 40 fucking hours.
Well, yeah, I mean, the book.
Yeah.
The big book.
Okay, so this is just a three episode, 273 minutes. What's the fucking... Good lord.
So that's an hour and a half each episode.
Oh my God. Well, that's crazy that... Yeah. They did that. Who directed that? Oh, McGarris.
Yeah.
Did he shut down his fucking thing?
What?
His podcast?
They ended, yeah.
Yeah.
They ended.
Oh, yeah, dude. Melvin Van Peebles is in that. Rest in peace. Mario's dad.
That he is.
Sweet, sweet self. Oh, Rebecca De Mornay. Hello, Yoo-hoo. All right. Three episodes, an hour and a half each. Holy moly. Oh, dude, it's the anniversary of it, pretty much. It will be when we record one of the episodes. April 27th, 1997. Was the first one. Right. ABC put it up.
Being a Steve Weber Stan as a child, so funny.
It's fucking wild. Who plays Andy? Danny. Cortland Mee.
Remember we interviewed him? Wait, no. I'm not thinking of Courtney Gaines. My bad.
That would have been nuts if we interviewed this guy. He's still working though.
Is he?
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. Who knows? All right. That's the show. Patreon.com/IHateHorror. If you want to watch our live shows, our bonuses, we got it all going on there. Did you release a new thing
this week? Yeah. So last week I did not get to it. I'm doing a double and it will be out in 2 days.
Woo-wee. Well, it'll be already out by the time people hear this. So,
yeah. So.
But you'll 2 new episodes if you join Patreon today, patreon.com/IHateHorror. Joe's doing Cult Movie Challenge. That's what it's called. Cult Movie Challenge. Very cool reviews. People are loving them. I'm also releasing them as audios, versions of those. So check that out. I did have a request from a listener who's on Patreon who was like, hey, great that all the new episodes are commercial free, but your old ones aren't on here. I was like, fuck. So I have every episode now organized, categorized. I will be posting a link this week
to those. I can't put it in the fucking stream of the show because it'll just like flood you guys, like 350 fucking episodes of be nuts of old stuff. So I'm just going to post a link where you can just download them all from a Dropbox folder. I mean, you could get all the old episodes commercial free. So enjoy that. Anything else? That's it. That's it. Patreon.com/IHateHorror. IHateHorror.com. Pre-orders are closed for the t-shirts. We will have limited stock available afterwards. I put the order in today, so we will see those very soon. And I'll get those all out to you as quickly as possible. And that's it. Instagram.com/IHateHorror. Facebook.com/IHateHorror. Oh, it's Instagram at IHateHorror. Joe, where can they find you?
Instagram, Boogdish1985. Speaking of Instagram, like, I don't know what's up with it. My DMs get like buried and then they'll pop up and it'll show me like, it'll give me like a notification that I have a new message. And when I open it, it's like 9 weeks old, you know? So
oh, that's insane.
I've kind of just given up. But if I respond to you 10 weeks later or not at all, it's not personal.
You know what I get? I get a notification. Oh, this happened with you and me too. I get a notification about a message and then I go and the message isn't fucking there.
Mm.
Like I see it and I could see the message and you'll say like, oh, this is happening. And then I click it and it goes to the app and that message isn't there and you didn't unsend it. It'll show up in like 4 days.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with it. It's the weirdest thing. Like I responded to somebody recently and from like October of 23, but it was the first thing, like I was like the first new message on my app and I didn't get notified of it then. And then I feel like an idiot responding to someone 6 months later. You
know? That's fucking nuts. Man. All right, guys. Well, thank you all so much. I will see you next week for The Shining. And for Joe, this is Sean. Stay weird.
Thank you.
Adios.
Movies all fucking day.
I wanna play.
I'm gonna watch what I'm not supposed to watch.